care and outreach at Principe's Lutheran Church in Springfield, Virginia. And my husband and I also own Safe Harbor Christian Counseling, and it's a beautiful ministry because we partner with churches to utilize their space during the week to provide counseling. Mm-hmm. And because we do that, we can take about 85% of insurances. So as a licensed clinician myself, if you have a private practice here in Northern Virginia, the overhead of real estate is so expensive.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do not use their insurance because of that, because people aren't taking it. So Safe Harbor does take insurance, and we have about 12 sites here in Northern Virginia. And if you want more information about that. So I work kind of part-time, I guess, for my husband. He's my boss on the side as well, so. I have to tell you that I was getting ready this morning, and I recognized that I was getting very nervous and anxious. And I'm like, what? Stacey, what are you doing? You know, I mean, you're talking to women. They're like your tribe, right? But as I was reflecting on it, I thought, oh, I know what it is. I'm going into a Baptist congregation. And it brought me back 25 years ago when I went on this amazing mission trip with Campus Crusade for Christ. And we were down living in Honolulu, Hawaii for the summer. But I was the only Northern girl in a sea of Auburn and Texas A&M girls. And by the end of day two, I started talking Southern. And everybody thought I was Southern. It was like, oh, it was crazy. So I have a really good friend, Brad Womble. And he always makes fun of me that when I hang out with him, I start talking Southern. So I'm texting him this morning going, oh, please pray for me that by the end of 20 minutes, I'm not talking Southern. I want to thank you for inviting me. I really want to thank Lisa. She's my friend over there. We have a MOPS group at Prince of Peace, and she attends Wednesday, but we had our MOPS group last night. So anyway, I want to thank you for inviting me here, because as a mom, I'm in the trenches with you. Though I don't have little ones right now, how many of you have preteens or tweens? It's a whole nother phase of life. So I am sharing my story, my journey. I'm not an expert, even though probably I, because of my practice with being a therapist, I can maybe have a little bit more edge on things, but I'm with you in this ministry. Can we just pray in a moment, because I'm still a little nervous? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you've called women to be moms, and that you have given us this awesome responsibility to share your love with your little people. I pray that the next 15, 20 minutes can be a holy conversation, that we can intertwine our lives and our ideas and our questions and our concerns and just lift them all up in worship to you. In your name we pray, amen. So I have a handout, and if you could just keep it on this side right now, all right? And I just wanted you to take a minute and read those three Facebook posts on the left-hand side. And these are actual posts from a very dear friend of mine. And just take a minute. So the first one had to do with eggs. This was about a week ago. She writes, "Hi friends, this summer I'm taking my boys to Mexico." Now, boys are in like little boys. I think they're like fourth grade and under. "To help pay for this trip, we are selling our eggs for $5 a dozen. They are cage-free, happy chickens that spend their days foraging and eating table scraps. Most of the food given to them is organic, but probably not 100%. Let me know if you're interested, and I'll deliver them." Okay. Any thoughts or emotions as you're... And let's be honest. Let's just pretend in the next 20 minutes this is a completely judgment-free zone. Shame is no longer allowed in any of our conversations or atmosphere. And really tell me, when you read that, what emotions or thoughts pop up?
I need to add chickens.
I need to add chickens.
Chickens.
Okay, I need to add chickens.
Happy chickens.
Happy chickens.
We're so happy.
Wow, I actually underlined happy 3 times, okay? I grew up on a farm in southern Minnesota, and we had chickens. And I have to tell you, I don't know if they were happy or sad chickens. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen a chicken smile. So I was like, happy chickens? My mother raised 7 children on the farm, and she raised chickens. So I wanted to ask her, she would probably just start laughing. She's like 85 now. Happy? Okay. But, you know, I was like, wow, they're going on a mission trip. They're going to build houses. They have chickens. They're like, you know, wow. And part of me was, wow, I'm really happy for her because I know her. She is an awesome mom. She homeschools her children. And, I mean, I really respect her. She was an only child. So she has this whole different reality in her life. And at the same time, I was like, oh, you know, like, Lisa, I got to add chickens. Like, I wonder if I can have chickens in my backyard. Anyway, okay. How about the next one? Hi, friends. And the kids and I are now into our 6 week. 2 years ago, she took all her four kids on a cross-the-country road trip. They were homeschooling, and so they went and visited historical sites. And so, you know, that's not the real picture. I didn't want to, like, out her, but read that one. You know, we're loving every minute of our time together. What do you think? I don't know. I really wanted to ask her, like, really, every minute? Because my reality is road trips are, can I swear in the chat? They're really hard, you know? So I was like, wow, like, I could never do that. And again, I'm feeling like I'm not enough. And then this one about Olivia's birthday party, you know? Do you see how old she is there? Can you look? To Bubblicious birthday party, and I mean, that cake is like on that cake show on, you know. And again, you know, she's gonna love it, stay posted. And I'm like, I don't even remember my child's second birthday. And then I spent like some time, like, what, did I even bake a cake? And I don't think I did. I think I had the German Oma that was babysitting my kids, like, schlep it off on her. Well, anyway, I do want to say these are actual Facebook posts from my really dear friend. And she's a very loving and a committed and creative mother. But she homeschools, which is a reality that I cannot fathom. And I think I have two pretty good kids, but we would kill each other by the end of a week being that close together. So, you know, this friend's reality is very different than my own. And I had, you know, it's hard when I'm reading Facebook posts and it seems like everybody's life is just perfect. And where does that leave me? So this idea about debunking the myths of motherhood, I wanted to really tease that apart a little bit today. I want to say that I realized that compared to my friend, my husband and I have embraced our reality, and that reality is that we are C-plus parents. Is that okay to say in Northern Virginia? Yes. I would like us to have a C-plus parenting movement in Northern Virginia. Yes! Okay! Will you call me back next year so I can talk about C-plus parenting? Because I think that, it's funny, my 13-year-old, when Jeff and I now mess up, she goes, yeah, but you are C-plus parents. So our kids are getting the message too. Is it okay to embrace being average?
Yes.
And I would say yes. It gives me goosebumps. So every time I say I have goosebumps, the Holy Spirit is telling me that's something true. Again, I want to tell you, I was raised, I'm the youngest of 7 kids on a farm in Minnesota. Our chickens were not free range, which is, I gotta ask my mom why.
Because
it's too cold, yeah, probably. Well, actually, you know, what we did is we butchered them. So, and I was part of that process, yeah. You know, that's a whole nother story. But I think that I'm normal. I had a normal childhood. It was safe on a farm. It was creative and free. And there wasn't pressure that we as women today, I know my mom did not face the pressure that mothers today are facing. So I want to just debunk some of these motherhood myths. You can turn it around. And these are ones that I've asked my friends, I asked my husband, I took from the internet and kind of tweaked them a little bit. And there's probably 100 myths. And so when I got to 15, I just said, like, that's enough. I only have 10 minutes anyway. So so the first one, you know, a good mother must have it all together. And let's just take the next one, too. A mother must know what to do in all situations.
Yeah.
Anybody here lived in Germany or Europe? Let's just take Germany. Oh, wow. Well, my formative mothering years for 13 years were in Germany. And I was around uber mothering to an extreme, and that was normal. So, you know, we'd go for a play date, and I was lucky if I had the kids' shoes on and maybe a diaper in my purse. I'm a C-plus parent, remember. Okay. But they brought the same, like, you know, size of purse, but it was like it was never ending. I mean, it had galoshes, it had the raincoat. I'm not exaggerating. They bring rain gear with them wherever they go, and they had healthy snacks, nothing prepackaged. It was always something like fruit or, you know, the wurst with a fresh, you know, bun, a bread. It was an endless bag. I remember one time my child fell and she was kind of bleeding and I didn't have a tissue. Oh yeah, you know, German mother, first aid kit. And I walk away going, I am, you know? And so it was hard because I had this idea that I had to be perfect. I had to have everything ready and have all the answers. I'm going to get to the reality. These are the myths, right? But how many of you feel that way, that you have to have it all together all the time? Oh, see, I don't believe you guys. Okay. Am I in a really vulnerable crowd?
I mean, we're real.
Real. Okay. How about a good mother never yells? Okay, you're laughing. All right. So, you know, I'll take 14 with that, too. A good mother doesn't let her kids fight.
Yeah.
I remember my kids would be screaming, you know, after school. It's like, you know, 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Well, in Germany, they have quiet hours from 12 to 2. So all the omas, everybody's taking their nap and everything. And my kids are, you know, and I'm out there. It was a very stressful time. And one of my friends said, I did not know I had anger issues until I became a mom. Isn't it? It's like primitive that comes out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to take 4, 5, and 6 together. A good mother shops at Whole Foods and is on top of the latest trends, news, product recalls. A good mother previews everything her child reads, watches, digests, and records all the important milestones. Do we have that pressure? Oh, yeah. Okay, a few years ago, I came across this amazing article blog on Huffington Post. And I need to read it. I have copies of it up here. Because if you're a mother, you need to share this with a mother who's struggling. And this is written by Amy Morrison, and she says, "Why You're Never Failing as a Mother." I've gotten a lot of emails from women saying you feel overwhelmed by motherhood. Not in a dangerous way. Just in I totally suck, and I don't know how I'm supposed to manage this kind of way. To this I say, you're not supposed to. If you think about it, if you had a baby thousands, if not hundreds of years ago, you would have had your mother, all your sisters, all of whom were probably lactating, and your nieces all taking care of your baby. They would help with food preparation, show you how to manage, and make sure your baby wasn't eaten by a bear. Your kids' feet probably would not have touched the ground until they themselves would be able to carry an infant. Back then, the point of a child was to have free labor in the fields and someone to take care of your old ass down the road and not much more. Am I allowed to swear? I did. I want you to know that I did take, I whited out the really bad words. Okay? As for the past generations that like to tell you that they raised 6 kids on their own and did it without a washing machine, well, sort of. Keep in mind, child rearing was viewed pretty differently not that long ago, and you could stick a toddler on the front lawn with just the dog watching, and nobody would bat an eye on them. I used to walk to the store in my bare feet to buy my father's cigarettes when I was a kid. As a mother, you cooked, you cleaned, but nobody expected you to do anything much more than keep your kids fed and tidy. My grandmother used to tell the story of how she forgot my mother at the grocery store in the early 1940s. She walked up to the store with my mother sleeping in her carriage, parked it outside with all the other sleeping kids. I'll let that sink in for a minute. Went inside to do her shopping, then walked home, forgetting that she had taken her baby with her. She quickly realized her mistake and walked back and received my mother, who was still sleeping outside the store. Anybody who did the PBS show,
Call the Midwives?
Yeah. They did that all the time. There were no flashcards. There were no sign language, unless you were deaf. I had a friend in my missional group that I just realized her child, who is two and isn't talking, does sign language with her. And I didn't realize like all these things he was doing. And she's like, oh yeah, I taught him sign language. Like, he's finished, you know? And so I was completely clueless. She said, okay, so she goes on, there's no organic free-range bento boxes. Your job was to see a kid through to adulthood and hope they did not become an idiot. Hey, I'm not judging. And I'm not saying one way is better than the other, but I'm just saying that we are part of a generation that considers parenting to be a skill. Like a true skill that needs to be mastered and perfected. And if we don't get it right, we think our kids are going to suffer for it. And that's hard blank to keep up with. That's not to say that other generations didn't have it tough and think parenting was important. But there just wasn't the same level of scrutiny that could be liked, tweeted, and Instagrammed all at once. Mamas, you are in the trenches when you have a baby. To the untrained eye, it seems pretty straightforward and easy. You feed them, you bathe them, you pick them up when they cry. But it's more important than that. It's a perpetual motion with a generous layer of guilt and self-doubt spread on top, and it takes its toll. Feeling like you also need to keep up with the top of scrapbooking, weight loss, upcycled onesies, handprints, crockpot meals, car seat recalls, sleeping patterns, poo consistency, probiotic supplements, swimming lessons, electromagnetic fields in your home, television exposure, is trying to like knit on a roller coaster. It's blanking hard. We live in a time when we can Google everything, share ideas, expose our children to amazing opportunities. But anyone that implies that they have it all figured out is either drunk or lying or both. So don't be too hard on yourself. Your job, mamas, is to provide your child with food, shelter, encouragement, and love. And that doesn't have to be solely provided by you either. Feel free to outsource, because they just didn't pull that "it takes a village" proverb out of the air. Mommy and me classes, homemade lactation cookies. I read that and I'm like, really? Woo! And learning Chinese, thank you, Ivanka, is all gravy. And if you can throw them in the mix once in a while, good on you, lady. I have about 9,000 things I've pinned on Pinterest, and I think I've done 4 of them. When I first read this, I said, what's Pinterest? C+ parenting for you. All right. So she says, it's an amazing and exciting time to have a baby right now. But always keep in mind that no one has ever done it like this before. You are pioneers that have to machete through this new terrain. So chin up, hang in there, and remember, you're doing a great job. And I love this like little picture. If I was more organized, I would have popped it up on the screen. But it's now a couple in their 50s, and she's their older baby. She says, I can't find a baby's footprint keepsake kit. And the dad is like, what in the blank are you talking about? Great article. I shared that with so many mothers that I had counseled that after they read that, like, there was no more issues. There wasn't. Because they realized, I'm okay. And I'm going to get to that point in just one quick second. So, you know, some of these things about having to have all the great birthday parties, the well-nutritious, rounded homemade meals, a clean house, volunteering PTA, Girl Scouts, all that. You know, number 12, wow, I'm still struggling with that one. I got One dentist shamed me so bad with my kids' teeth. It was horrible. I didn't ever want to go back. And it took me a long time to find a dentist who I sat down and I said, I need you to know that I try really hard to, you know, ensure my kids' teeth are brushed and flossed, but I am not good at this. You know, there's a lot of things going on. And what's great is he told me my kids' teeth were awesome. So I'm like, oh, you know, a little bit of encouragement, right? Wow, does that motivate you? Like, wow, okay, kids, you're doing a great job. Do that, you know? So, okay. So this last one, that motherhood is sweet and wonderful, unanimously in our office, which I work with mostly women, we were like, no. You know, motherhood is not for sissies. It is the hardest, most demanding job you'll ever do. And I'm going to be honest, you know, I feel like I'm entering a really fun time. And you're talking to someone who did work full-time outside of the home, and I did outsource to this wonderful German family who we are still really great friends with. But, you know, I have a lot of guilt that I wasn't there and I wasn't more present. But you can't go back, right? And you have to go forward. And but it's okay if you're not at a good place right now. We have a God that redeems everything. He buys it back. He recreates it into something new and beautiful. And I want to focus on some scripture now, kind of leading into this idea that, what reality do you live in? Because on the left-hand side of this paper is a reality that is full of shame. How many of you heard of Brené Brown? Okay, Brené Brown, listen to her podcast. She's the leading researcher on shame right now and the impact of shame. But all of these myths on the left-hand side is really one statement. You are not enough. You are not enough. I wrote another blog, and again, I've kept it up here if you want to get it, but to our women's group, we have a vibrant Wednesday morning ministry, and I'm really sensing that women are saying these things. I'm not good enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not thin enough, I'm not smart enough, I'm not creative enough, I don't have enough money, enough time, enough friends, enough sleep, I'm not a good enough parent. Anybody had any of those not enoughs in your life? Yeah. And we can live in that reality. We can live in that reality. Or we can live in the truth that in Christ we have been saved and sanctified. And I love that superwoman picture up there, because it's not that you're superwoman, you know? In our reality, I'm saved. I'm sanctified, right? These are three verses that really have propelled me in the last several years in my journey as a mom and a parent. With the thought is that I am enough because Christ has made me enough. Let that sink in. You are enough because Christ has made you enough. In 2 Corinthians, it's supposed to be 12:9. There's a typo there. You know, Paul had this ongoing nagging, whatever it was, thorn in his flesh, and it weighed him down, and he learned the secret to all of those not enoughs is that God's grace is sufficient. It's enough. God's grace is enough, and that your weakness is made perfect in God's power. Your power is made perfect in weakness. So, you know, Paul was like, I'm going to boast all the more how weak I am. Why? Because it's Christ's power in me, right, that is causing change and impact around me. Two other verses, I think, when it comes to shame, the motivator of shame is fear, right? Let's just be honest. Like, if you're not enough, you're afraid of something, okay? And 1 John 4:8, I mean, I still don't think I fully get this, but for 2 years I've been meditating on this, that there's no fear in love. So if I am in fear, what reality am I in? I'm not in love, right? Because fear and love cannot coexist. Perfect love drives out fear. So whenever I'm afraid, I'm realizing, like, I'm not in love. And John talks about God is love, right? So if God is love and I'm afraid, then I'm not in God because I'm not in love. So when you're afraid, a simple question is like, where are you? You're on the left-hand side of the sheet, right? You're in the shame and the myths and the fear. And all it takes is a simple confession. God, I'm sorry. I'm not in your love. Thank you for your grace. Move me back into the right lane. Yeah? And then, you know, Romans 8:11, like, okay, so now you're in love, right? You're in the right lane. And I think as Christians, we do not tap into resurrection power. Romans 8 talks about being a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. Are we living in the reality of the third day? Resurrection. Romans 8 says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Imagine that. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead on the third day lives in you. Like, I'm like, whoa! I don't think I tap into that. So my encouragement is that our super strength comes in the fact from a saving Savior. And that in our weakness, his power is made perfect in us. And we can stay in his love and stay in that resurrection power. Amen? I want to give you some time now to have holy conversation on some of these ideas. The questions are on the bottom of the right-hand page, and I want you to get real. Even if you think you're real, I want you to try to go a little deeper. Anybody take a bar class? I love that when they go, okay, get up, and then like just sink one more inch. You know, I'm asking you to sink one more inch into your realness. Number one, has it been your experience that mothers are hard on themselves and competitive? Why do you think that is? Why do you think we are? Which motherhood myth do you most identify with and why? Pick one. I want you to get at least to number 3 and 4. So maybe one, you know, if we don't have time, skip that one. But get to 2, 3, 4. Jesus is sitting here with us today. What do you need him to say to you and encourage you in your journey being a mom? And moms need moms. What do you need from the other mother around you? I want you to take a moment and share that one thing, and then I want you to pray about that one thing. So we're going to do this in pairs. So find a woman and get through these questions. I think you have 10 minutes, right? So you have about 2 minutes on each one, which gives you each a minute to share. So not long discourses, just, you know, what's been your experience with these myths? What do you most identify with? What do you need Jesus to say to you right now? Don't filter it. And then, what do you need from other mothers around you? Just share it and then pray about it, okay? And then we'll wrap up in a large group prayer. Have fun.